On Sunday, December 9th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will present keyboardist, composer, artivist, and one-third of Modesky Martin and Wood, John Modesky. That's Sunday, December 9th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. In the building, Sugar in My Bowl, on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. My guest tonight will be John Modesky. Yeah, we're pitching, but see, this is what you have to do. You have to pledge the highest, and the person who pledges the highest will get tickets to see Modesky, Martin, and Wood. A pair of tickets will be given to the highest pledger on a credit card. That's on a credit card, people. I'm counting on you to show your support. You say you love WBAI, you love the show. A little sugar in your bowl? Well, give us some sugar in our bowl in the way of your financial support. What's that number? 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. Stay tuned. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. Thank you so much, John Medeski, for making this time to do Sugar in My Bowl when you're in the midst of moving.
No problem. Let's take a little break.
Yeah. I mean, not only are you moving, you came back from not being in New York. You were touring.
Oh, yeah, I was on the West Coast. I was actually playing with John Scofield, and I were both playing with Phil Lesh, with Phil and Friends over the weekend. And then, yeah, I came back to meet the movers and start moving some stuff. And I've been, a couple days moving. And then that's where I would is going out to play with Scofield in Colorado on Friday for the weekends. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And then you'll be back here Tuesday for the Blue Note.
Yep, and then we're doing a run at the Blue Note.
Yeah.
Yep, our first week at the Blue Note.
First week at the Blue Note ever?
As Medeski Martin would, yeah.
Yeah, oh my gosh. And you've been on the label.
Well, I think, the label's different than the club. We were on the label for a while, and I played there. I played at the Blue Note a couple times with Spectrum Road and also with James Carter. But, yeah, Medeski Martin Wood has never played the Blue Note in New York City. We played a Blue Note in Japan one time. Because, it's our first time.
Well, thank you, Grant Gardner.
Yeah, I guess we finally made it.
Going to do a lot of interruption, but I just thought I'd let you know you're listening to Sugarcraft right now. Medeski Martin and Wood from Combustication. It was their first release on Blue Note Records in 1998. Before that, we heard Wonton from Radiolarians 3. There were three of them. This is the third. And I forgot to ask him about the whole Radiolarians thing because of the Skype phone. And anyway, I got him for when I had him. That's on Indirecto Records, 2009. Before that, we heard the theme of the program, I Want a Little Sugar in My Bowl, Nina Simone, from the very best of Nina Simone. Sugar in My Bowl, 1967, 1972, on RCA BMG Records. And it was originally recorded, it's a compilation on BMG RCA Records. And as I mentioned, I'm not doing a lot of pitching because there's a program. There's a conversation with John Medeski of Medeski Martin and Wood, one-third of Medeski Martin and Wood. And I'm leaving it up to you, people. You need to go to givetowbai.org. You need to go to wbai.org and join a BAI buddy. Become a BAI buddy for Sugar in My Bowl. That's your pledge of 10 or more a month coming out of your account, off of your card, however you'd like to do it. And we offered the journeys this year. We had the journey with Bobby Sanabria. It was offered on Felipe Luciano and Wake Up Call this past Friday. Remember, it came from Sugar in My Bowl. So you can pledge for that if you go to give to WBAI.org. Give the number 2 WBAI.org. This is DJ Logic joining Medeski Martin and Wood. Stay tuned for more Sugar My Bowl. Well, I'm going to have to backtrack because I want to talk about this stuff first and get it out of the way. Fracking. Now, when and how did you first become aware of New York State considering fracking? And
I live in upstate New York, you know, sort of in and around the Woodstock area. I just, actually, where I moved to is down a little south in Accord, which is closer to New Paltz. But I've been in the area for, you know, almost about 10 years up here, and, you know, in New York City before that for 15 years. So I kind of consider myself a New York resident at this point. And I really, you know, I heard something about it maybe 5 years ago, some friends who live closer to the Delaware Water Gap were dealing with something, but it didn't really, I didn't put it all together. I was living in the city, I guess, at the time before I moved up here. And just a couple of years ago, I started hearing about it, and I guess it really just dawned on me what it was all about. So I just became obsessed with trying to not let it happen here, because I don't, you know, I personally don't want it, and I don't actually know anyone who does. That lives up here.
So how did you wind up joining Artists Against Fracking? And by the way, as I continue this fracking segment, I have to thank Rebecca Miles. She's a journalist on WBAI, and she had a special on fracking. It was called Fracking Mondays. As a matter of fact, if one searches YouTube, put in Fracking Mondays, do a search for Fracking Mondays, and there should be a few clips.
All right,
up
I will.
There. She
Great.
Had a lot of information, and there was a program on Green Street this week, so check the WBAI archives for that information.
I will for sure.
Now, why did you join Artists Against Fracking?
Well, you know, I have been working, you know, I'm on, and, you know, donated to and been working with different organizations, you know, one of them being Frack Action, and they helped, Natalie Merchant, you know, sort of spearheaded this concert that happened up in Albany, and then there's a film has been made of it, and it's been going around, and the concert was both music and also a lot of information, people reading open letters about fracking, showing statistics, showing all kinds of facts about fracking in between the performances. And that sort of was part of the launching of this coalition of New Yorkers against fracking. And I had been talking with Frack Action for a while about, you know, how great it would be to get some sort of Artists Against Fracking, because there are so many artists in New York. But I'm not really that famous, you know. So I didn't know how I could actually pull it off. But then we got wind of the fact that Sean Lennon had heard about it and was excited about it. And he and Yuka Honda and Sean's mom, Yoko, just went for it. And they got us started. And I talked to them just a little bit, and you know, I've been emailed somewhat too. And they launched it. So I sent out as many emails as we could to everyone I knew to have to see how many artists we could get on that I know. And I know they know, you know, obviously a lot of high-profile people. So it was exciting that it started.
So tell me about Frack Action. What is that?
They're an anti-fracking organization that's been around for many years, you know, and they're a grassroots organization, and they've been fighting really hard to help stop fracking. And I would say they're like on the front lines, you know. They have been at every rally, at every, you know, political meeting. They, you know, they were based in Albany for a while. I mean, and now they're trying to go out to the southern tier, you know, to help try to help educate people and raise awareness. They've really done a lot to help keep this, along with Water Defense and, you know, a lot of other organizations. But, you know, I think what New Yorkers Against Fracking did, you know, sort of created an umbrella for all the organizations in New York State that are against fracking to sort of unify. It's amazing to think about what all these groups have done and how much they have been able to help educate and raise awareness and keep it from happening. So, you know, the fact that it hasn't happened yet is a testament to how hard these people have worked and, you know, to what, I guess, you know, these grassroots movements can do now, you know, especially with the internet and communicating that way.
I understood that you and the other members of Modesky, Martin, and Wood were active in pretty much letting people know about fracking before you joined Artists Against Fracking. And to that effect, how did you go about informing people? What is it that you're doing now and did then to inform people?
Well, I mean, you know, you just use various social media, and, you know, there's not so much we can do to have people, you know, definitely have, you know, tables at our gigs with, you know, Frack Action has, you know, done stuff at various gigs and just, you know, talking about it with people. You know, for me, it's also been about, like, emailing other, you know, a lot of musicians and artists that I know and just explaining, you know, how we're up against the wall here and there's not a lot of time. And this isn't one of those things that you can just sort of say, oh, yeah, well, you know, to get around to that when I can. It's like, because, you know, we're all very, very busy. And now is the time. You know, we have to be on it now. And we have to let, you know, the governor know that we don't want it. One of the things that, you know, I find interesting is, like, you know, I live up, you know, the part of upstate New York I live in is not like a wealthy part. And, you know, I've heard this argument, you know, that, like, oh, well, Artists Against Fracking is just a bunch of celebrities and it's just You know, I've heard this from very intelligent people. It's usually people living in the city, though, who are fairly separate from where things really come from, like water and food and things like that.
Right.
But I've been living within a stone's throw of the reservoir for the past 4 years. You know, I look at it every day. I see it every day. So for me, it's a much more serious and real thing than it is for somebody living, you know, in an apartment in the city, you know, with Poland Spring bottles, and, you know, right there. But one of the things, you know, I said is, people said, you know, thought this was like a, you know, oh, it's just the wealthy people, it's the millionaires. And it's really, truly not. I mean, I'm certainly not a celebrity, really, or I'm a musician, but I'm not a celebrity, and I'm not a millionaire. And, you know, I drive around, and I see anti-fracking signs everywhere, just regular people's homes, at least where I live. So, you know, it's just kind of an odd argument. You know, I think it's one of the dangers of celebrities, you know, taking out a cause is it can make people feel like, you know, it's not a real issue or that they're not in touch with the people or the topic or the realities of the topic. But everybody in Arctic Skins Fracking is a New York resident. A lot of them are lifetime New Yorkers. So I think it's a real thing, and it's a real important issue for us all to get behind.
in addition to the issue of fracking, in general, in what way does your music and politics dovetail your life?
Well, I guess it's totally connected. Because I play my music, and a lot of it's improvised or original, it's a direct reflection of me, you know, which is the sum of my life and how I live. I mean, music can be so many things. That's what music is. You know, music is an expression of myself, and which is definitely a reflection of, you know, how I live and what I do and, you know, my views and beliefs and all that kind of thing.
From the beginning, apparently you were playing with your father at five. Is that correct?
Yeah, younger than that. My dad used to have me sit. He used to sit there when I was a baby. I mean, I couldn't really play, but yeah, he would play with me and, you know, show me, like, you know, he would use numbers and say 1, 2, 3, and I'd go to the different notes and play along with him when he was playing. But I started taking lessons when I was five, you know.
Your father was a working musician as well?
No, my dad could. No, he was a furniture salesman, and he could sit down at a party, and for 45 minutes to an hour, hour and 15 minutes, he could just keep everybody entertained and singing along with him. I was always jealous of that. He knew a handful of tunes, and he would, you know, look them out, and he just had just a great, happy feeling when he played, and everybody would, you know, hang around and sing, and, yeah. He doesn't play a lot anymore, you know. I wish he did. But he doesn't.
Well, I understood that eventually you wound up playing tunes for the older people around you. Old favorites from the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, I would play, like, you know, songs that, you know, about, you know, as a kid, you know, in addition to whatever, playing classical music and listening to what's on the radio and all that. I would just go through my parents' record collection, which my dad had a lot of big band stuff and singers and, you know, but they didn't have a lot of jazz. I mean, they definitely had, you know, Glenn Miller and a little Count Basie and Benny Goodman. And that sort of thing. But they also had a lot of, like, Frankie Carl, Eddie Haywood, and those kind of Carmen Caballero and that kind of stuff, you know.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I would listen to. I would listen to that. And then I would, you know, learn some of those songs. I would get the sheet music, a Carmen Caballero arrangement of Body and Soul or whatever. And I would learn it by reading it, you know. And then I would play, or Deep Purple, you know. Not the band, but the song. And I would play that for my grandmother and my family and score the crap out of them. My parents would make me do it, you know.
So it was one of those situations like, come on, John, come out here and play for everybody.
I think now probably most everybody's just rolling their eyes up. There they go again.
Nothing's happening, so I need to hear from you. Here's that number again. I'll say it slowly. 917-580-6021. That's 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. It's like I'm trying to get a flow for that number and get accustomed to saying it. Well, it's only for this drive. And it's the only time that Sugar My Bowl is going to be on. So we need to hear from you. Zero. A big fat zero on the board. Because, you know, I decided I wasn't going to, you know, well, yeah, let me remind you. There's a pair of tickets that will go to see, a pair of tickets to see Modesky, Martin, and Wood. John Modesky is my guest this evening on Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. And first off, I'd like to thank Hank Williams, my partner, for helping me with this music. You know, we sort of like gathered our sources of Modesky, Martin, and Wood music. I'm talking over Heaven on Earth. It's actually the title, this, actually, no, that's not what I'm doing. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's it. Slam's Mishap. That's what I'm talking over. And that's Christian McBride. Well, it's James Carter on saxophone. John Modesky on Hammond B3 organ. Christian McBride on acoustic and electric bass. I think he's on upright on this one, acoustic. Adam Rogers on guitar and Joey Barron on drums. Oh, there's John now. This is that that Live at the Blue Note event that John Modesky mentioned the other time that he was at the Blue Note, in addition to being there with Spectrum Road. But this will be their first time as Modesky, Martin, and Wood at the Blue Note. Can you believe it? So some lucky person who has pledged the highest amount will get to take their friend Tuesday, 10:30 p.m. for the 10:30 p.m. set at the Blue Note. See Modesky, Martin, and Wood and their guest. Oh, I wish I could pronounce this man. I think it's Aye Dang. It's a good guest. He's been on their recordings. He's recorded with Yoko Ono. He plays koto, he plays percussion, he plays all kinds of good stuff. So, yeah, him and Billy Martin together, that's going to be some fierce stuff, no doubt. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. Let's listen to John Modesky play. Call!
I understood that you encountered jazz, though, when you were 12, 13, something like that.
Yeah, I was probably 11 or 12. You know, my neighbor, his older brother, was a drummer. His name was Rob Shue. He actually just left the planet last month, 49 years old. It was really sad. He was a great drummer and a very original, always a very original personality. And his younger brother was my best friend. And he knew that I played piano. And so he brought me into his room. He, you know, I remember the kid, he had this really amazing stereo. And he was older, you know, and 2 years was a big difference back then, you know, when you're 11.
Right.
And he played some records for me. Yeah, and that's, it blew my mind. I think in the course of that day, I can remember really well, was this, you know, an Oscar Peterson record. Live at Montreux with Ray Brown and Miles Pedersen. He played me Weather Report. Some Miles, I think Four and More. And, you know, some other stuff, Frank Zappa or something.
Oh, okay.
And my mind was blown. Oscar Peterson, you know, it blew my mind, you know, because I didn't know that some of the same tunes that I, you know, I'd heard and trying to play, to hear that they could be played like that, you know, so grooving and bluesy and swinging, and it just blew my mind. That was it. And then I got into jazz. I started listening to everything and trying to play, you know, studying.
In things that I've read, I've heard reference, of course, to Oscar Peterson as being somebody that really turned you on. Then I've also noticed Bud Powell, Cecil Taylor, and someone mentioned, and it was mentioned that you like A Love Supreme.
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, definitely. I ended up finding someone to take jazz lessons with, this woman named Lee Shaw, who actually lives up near, up in Troy, near Albany, New York now, and she was, had been a student of Oscar's. So she was living down in Florida because she was down there with her husband. They were taking care of their mother. So I lucked out that she happened to be down there at that time. And I started taking lessons with her, and one of the things she did is she just kept giving me records of hers to listen to, everything. And, yeah, I think, for, you know, this is, I'm just saying, this is for me as a kid. I, you know, at this point, I have listened to so much different stuff, and I love so much music. I can't really pick. It's hard to pick what's an influence, what's not. But I remember, you know, in those early years, the stuff that what I loved was, yeah, I loved Bud Powell. And, you know, my friend Rob, would, you know, played Cecil Taylor for me. And I loved Cecil. And then I didn't, you know, an Art Ensemble Chicago. And, of course, and who doesn't love A Love Supreme?
Now, what is it, what is it about A Love Supreme? Is it McCoy Tyner? Is it Coltrane? Is it the whole ensemble?
It's the synergy of the whole thing. I mean, it's like, you know, it's an amazing, I mean, you know, it's culture, you know, it's the music. I think it's also, you know, I think a lot, you know, I can say now, looking back then, I don't know what it was, everything about it. Also, for me, it was like overwhelming. I had to listen to it with headphones over and over to even begin to tell what was going on, you know, when I first heard it as a kid. It was so new to me, you know, those kind of sounds, those, you know, the notes, the harmonies, everything. But I think, you know, really, it's the intention of the music and the players, and I think a lot of it has to do with, like, you know, Coltrane's discipline, his spirituality, you know, and his hard work, you know. I think that's all in there. I think you can't help but feel that, you know.
Right.
You can't help but feel the truth behind it, you know.
Sure.
I chose not to talk over John Medeski that time. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. Need to hear from you. Need you to call. Show your support to WBAI. Help rebuild WBAI. Become a BAI buddy. Go to BAI.org to do that. Call the pledge room at 917-580-6021. Find out how to become a BAI buddy. Show your support. Get an opportunity to get your hands on the journey that was produced by Shogun Mabul and presented by Bobby Sanabria. You know, I like bass. I hate talking over this one. But it's too quiet, so I need to hear from you. 917-580-6021. I'm trying to stick to this I'm going to do a show thing. It's like I have a show and I want to present it, but I need your support. 917-580-6021. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar my bowl. John Medeski's my guest. My name's Joyce Jones. Stay tuned. Done a lot of things. Now, there's this indication that I saw that you were pursuing a classical career with your training, and then you just dropped it, and you started going in the direction of folk music, more improvisational stuff, specifically African and African-American folk music. Now, does that mean the blues?
I don't know what that means. You know, as a kid, I played everything. I took classical music lessons. I was studying jazz. Mm-hmm. I played theaters. I played in big bands. I played Broadway shows. I accompanied everybody that, you know, every soloist that I could. I knew of my friends that, you know, in band. I played bassoon in band. I played percussion in the marching band. Mm-hmm. I just did a lot of different stuff in music. You know, as part of a theater company. Down there, and I played whatever kind of music came up with them, wrote a couple of musicals.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I just did whatever and anything. For me, there wasn't about that style.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember as a kid, you know, I had heard, jazz is... as African roots, so I started checking out African music, you know. And there were some, you know, I remember there were some amazing records, you know, some of those Nun Sludge records and Folkways records, you know, back in the late 70s that were really amazing.
Sure.
You know, ritual music. I just remember those records really stand out. And, you know, I always kept playing classical. You know, I guess what happened is I decided to go to music school out of high school. I went to the New England Conservatory is what I picked. I checked out a few schools, and that's the one I chose because it seemed like they had the most integrative jazz and classical department relationship, I guess you could call.
Mm-hmm.
But I went as a classical major my first year. And what I realized in that year was that I don't want to be a classical pianist. I love the music, you know, and what I love about the music is I love the compositions and I love, you know, what the composers were doing. I didn't like doing what they wrote. I liked really getting into like where they're coming from and the development, the analysis, the theory. I wanted to do what they were doing somehow.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a lot of them were great improvisers, you know, and I loved improvising. So I just really realized that I gotta just focus on that and what I love to do. So I switched over to a department that was called the String Department at that time. And I think it's now called the Creative Improvisation Department. But it was started by Gunther Schuller and Rand Blake, and it was a sort of an integrative ear training based approach to improvise music where you really absorb music that you love to develop your own style through the year, through a sort of university level of oral training. And for me, it was great. And that's what I got into. And yeah, you know, at that point, I checked out a lot of different things, you know, and it sort of helped me sort of under terms with who I, you know, realized that, hey, you know, I'm not really a jazz guy. You know, that's a lot of different things, that, you know, that make who I am. But one of the things that I did during that time because I was really into, you know, getting into complicated music and, you know, checking out Ligeti and Boulez and Messiaen, and I loved Charles Ives, and, you know, I was really into, you know, all this kind of music. But I ended up getting a gig in a blues band, Mr. Jelly Belly's Jazz and Blues Band.
And I was just going to ask you about Mr. Jelly
Belly. Playing organ.
Yes.
Yeah. Playing organ. That's where I really got into organ. And I could barely play a 3-chord blues. I could play the more complicated chord changes and sight read, you know, difficult music, but I could barely play a blues. And my first rehearsal with him, I was like, all right, this is ridiculous. So I just got down to, like, learning how to play simple, you know, because you got to be able to do that. If you want to do something complicated and have it mean anything, you know. So that was a great experience for me for a few years, you know, to play 6-7 nights a week with Jelly Belly. It was fantastic, you know. It really also helped me, you know, really connect with the organ.
How did that feel, going to an organ from a piano?
Well, you know, the truth is, when I was younger, I never would have imagined I would even begun to dream that I would have done what I've been doing the past, you know, almost 25, 30 years, you know. I thought I was going to be a piano player. That's what I planned on doing. I mean, you know, I did play as a kid. You know, I played Fender Rhodes, because where they didn't have pianos, and it was in a really amazing trio down in Florida where I grew up. And but, you know, I would always end up putting the Rhodes through effects because I didn't like the way it was too clean for me even back then, and I just was looking for more something bite from it. But I never imagined that was what I was going to do. I was sold by Rhodes when I went to college, you know, and. You know, but the Hammond organ sucked me in. I was at the Dominican Conservatory. We were having a really late night jam session in one of the smaller performance halls. And in the back, we found this thing under a cloth cover and pulled off the cover, and it was a Hammond B3. And we turned it on, and the speaker started spinning, and the tubes fired up. And I started playing it, and so I worked with the draw bars and found these really incredible low notes, and I just fell in love. And I was like, oh my god, this is like a, you know, I had loved like Messiaen's organ music, and I just realized, wow, this instrument, you can do so much. I mean, it's another, you know, like piano, it's another instrument that is an entire symphony of its own. And I fell in love with it, you know, and then to get to play Jelly Belly, you know, so much helped me really get into the bluesy and, you know, soul and gospel jazz side of the organ. But I've always was interested in exploring the sounds, you know, the sounds that I hadn't heard anybody do on record that I knew the organ could do.
Well, as my partner said, you definitely bring the wolf. It's like we have this thing, it's like woof, 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 rah, rah, rah. That's what you bring.
Yeah, I like that, you know. I like
it. Well, you've done a couple of blues tunes. You did something with Johnny Winter, Roots.
Yeah, I did.
How was that? What was that about, and how did you wind up doing that?
You know, as well as producer ideas.
Oh, okay.
I was glad to get to do it, you know, because, you know, producer is also his guitar player, and Johnny was into the idea, and, you know, I think he's getting special guests on different tunes, you know, so I'm really honored to get picked to do that, because... You know, I had some Johnny Winter records back in the day.
Uh-huh.
and what he was doing all tunes that influenced him.
Okay.
You know, and we got to do the Ray Charles tune, you know. It was great.
Oh, come on, baby. Oh, please don't go, yeah. The way I love you. Shine.
Baby, you got a call. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021.
You're listening to Sugar My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. My guest is John Medeski. You're listening to WBAI, and we're trying to raise some funds. We need your help. We need to hear from you. Because if I wind up with a zero, oh my gosh, that's not going to be pretty. What you're listening to right now is Comeback Baby, Johnny Winter from the Roots recording, Megaforce Records, 2011. Before that, you heard Saida's, John Coltrane's, Saida's song Flute from Medeski, Martin & Woods, It's a Jungle in Here. It's a jungle in here, too. Need to hear from you. 917-580-6021. All right, now, yeah, it's a jungle in here. Ryko Disc, 1993. Before that, we heard Slam's Mishap, James Carter, John Medeski, Christian McBride, Adam Rogers, Joey Barron. Heaven on Earth is the release on Half Note Records of 2009. Before that, we heard Where Have You Been? Where have you been, listeners? We need your help. 917-580-6021. And, let's see, that's from Uninvisible on Blue Note Records, 2002 release, Medeski, Martin & Wood. 917-580-6021. We have to hear from you. Something has to give, and you need to do the giving. Because if you give, the person who pledges the most will get a pair of tickets to see Medeski, Martin, and Woods at the Blue Note. And they will be there with their special guest. I'm just confused. You know, people say they like the show, and they say they like WBAI. But there's nothing. Have people, like, given out? They've given everything. They gave it to Max and David. I'm not competing with them. I'm not competing with anyone. I just want you to show your love to WBAI. So, yes, their guest that's going to be, they're going to have different guests during the week. But on Tuesday night at 10:30, for the 10:30 set, they're going to have Ayeb Deng. Ayeb Deng is going to be their guest. This is their first time performing live with him at the Blue Note. I'm going on Thursday night, but that's my business. 917-580. There's John. I'm talking over him in the background because you're quiet. 917-580-6021.
Now, the band that you mentioned that you had in Florida, was that Emergency?
Yeah. Yes.
Was that inspired by Tony Williams?
Well, I think the name was, to some extent. Mm-hmm. It was just a cool name. It was inspired by that to some extent. And, you know, we play a whole, you know, a really broad variety of music. Some original, you know, some jazz stuff, but done kind of more rocking. We played a lot of, you know, some of Jaco's music.
Mm. And I heard that you were invited to go on tour with Jaco.
Yeah, I was. He used to come down and play with us and sit in. His brother-in-law was the drummer in the band, and he would come down and sit in, and then he'd just stay up there all night. That's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And we would play, and, you know, I played. I actually played with him in a couple other settings, too, and, you know, some afternoon jazz gigs at this club down there, the Musicians Exchange. Ran into him in a couple of recording studios, and he was great to me. Really nice, really generous, and he always used to make me sit down and play that Beethoven. So I'd play, you know, whatever, some classical. And then he'd sit down and play his incredible, you know, harmonic things. He would do like his gospel, jazz, reharmonization, modern, yet soulful thing that he did. And, he asked me to go on this tour. I was probably 16 to go to Japan with him. But my mom wouldn't let me.
Did you ever forgive her?
It was probably a good decision.
Yeah.
I would love to have gone, you know, but he was in one of his wilder phases at that point, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he was great. He was so supportive, and he was an incredible genius. He was just such a treat to be, you know, such an inspiring person to be around and to play with.
I didn't want to interrupt this, but I did want to thank the person who cleared the zero. We need more of you to call 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. You're listening to Modesky, Martin, and Wood right now doing their version of Bemsha Swing, Lively Up Yourself from It's a Jungle in Here, Record Disc 1993 Records. Stay tuned.
Wind up coming to New York and doing your thing here?
Well, I was living in Boston, and it was probably 88, 89, something like that. I started, I actually moved out to the Berkshire Mountains, and then New York just sucked me in, I think it was actually because Raphael DeLugoff was booking the Village Gate.
Oh.
And he would get me gigs there. I used to come from Boston, and I would do duo gigs there, the 2-week runs, And I think knowing that I would have those gigs a couple times a year gave me that whatever it was to, jump off the cliff and just move to the city.
Mm.
And I moved. I was sort of renting a room in a apartment with the guys in Flatbush and kind of keeping this Berkshire room I had there for a while. And then I just got sucked in. And actually, Chris Wood and I got an apartment in the East Village, Avenue A.
Wow.
6th and 7th.
Wow.
And back then, you could play all night long in the apartment. So it seems different down there now.
Yeah, it's so very different. I used to live down there, too.
We used to play, all night. We were right above the laundromat there, between 6th and 7th. And we would listen.
Yeah.
We would have sessions there all the time. I would drag my Leslie down the stairs, put my cord on top of it on a dolly, and roll it down to the knitting factory, down Avenue A, down to Houston Street, to when the knitting factory used to be on Houston Street.
Wow.
For a gig. Yeah.
It was a nice scene. It really was. There were lots of musicians all over there.
You never know who you'd run into, Next thing, you'd be going to breakfast, and there'd be Bern Nix, Or Anthony Coleman, or it was incredible. Hanging out in somebody's apartment and listening to Bern Nix, on acoustic guitar playing Autumn in New York, just on the couch. Unbelievable.
Bern Nix is with Jane Cortez these days, or has been.
Yeah. But it was great. It was a great time to be there for me. And I think, the downtown scene was really attractive to me, at that point in time, because it was kind of really reflecting what I thought the jazz scene would be about in New York. I went to a few jam sessions, Fischione's or to the Blue Note session, but, I just didn't. I wasn't getting that real improvised, playing with each other feeling from the jazz scene at that time. I think it's changed, actually, since then. But back then, it was odd. You go down there, especially as a piano player, to go down and play, and you have 57 horn players lined up.
Wow.
Night of the Living Dead, and you're sitting playing, and they come up and they play their solo, and no one was listening to what I was playing. They were just doing whatever they practiced on top of, the changes. There was no interaction.
Oh, my God.
I was like, wait a minute. This is not what I'm looking for. Yeah, so that scene just was so attractive. People were really being honest about who they were and coming up with music that, interactively, some of it written out, some of it improvised, just a great combination of stuff.
You mentioned Chris Wood. who's another third of Modesky Martin and Wood, the drummer?
Chris is the bass player.
Bass player, yes. Billy Martin is the drummer. How did you meet Billy Martin?
Yeah.
And how did you decide to become?
Well, here, I'll tell you. I met Chris Wood, I met on a gig in Boston. I played in this band, the Either Orchestra, and Russ Gershon from the Either Orchestra put a band together for a gig, and he got Chris on bass and myself. And I can't remember who was playing drums. Shoot, I should. But anyway, and I heard, and Chris was young. He must have been 18 or something. And I know, I think he had just come to Boston and was going to the conservatory, studying with Dave Holland. And man, he blew my mind. His rhythmic power is what I felt on the upright.
Mm.
And we just kind of connected on that front. I felt like a real strong rhythmic connection with him. And so we started playing. And he came and just, you know, one of the, worked at the Village Gate with me. And we, you know, worked a bunch of duo stuff. And it was really great. And so we decided to move to the city. And I also met Billy in Boston. Billy was living in New York. And, you know, he never studied music and a lot of things. He never actually went to music school, but he was playing percussion with the drummer Bob Moses.
Oh, okay.
And I went to go see Bob's band. He had this world beat kind of band. I don't know what it was. It was sort of jazz meets world music, and Billy was a percussionist. And bass sounded great. And I knew it because my girlfriend at the time was really checking him out. And digging it. So I was like, all right, this guy. He played drums, and all the girls got up and danced. I noticed that. Uh-huh. And he'd sit down and play drum set, and then all these girls would get up from the, you know, from the bar and start dancing. And I was like, all right, that guy's got something going on. And, you know, because Bob had, you know, Bob actually was, Bob Moses was very influential in the three of us getting together and meeting. But Chris and Bob and I played in Boston, and Bob, you know, kept telling me about Billy, and so I met Billy in Boston. We were like, hey, we got to play together sometime. So when I moved to New York, Billy and I actually got together, just the two of us, and played in his loft, duo. That was the first time Billy and I played together. And then, you know, a little later, Chris, Billy, and I got together, and Chris and I went over to Billy's house, his loft in Dumbo, when Dumbo was really desolate, and yeah, we recorded. We recorded this little jam session we had, and one of the tunes that we improvised, it was just a spontaneous sort of composition, we ended up transcribing, and it was a tune on our first record. It is called Uncle Chubb from Notes from the Underground.
folks who pledged. We need more. Need more of you to call 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. The special temporary pledge number for this drive, 917-580-6021.
The chemistry was that instantaneous. We were just instantly making music without saying a word to each other. Spontaneous composition. And that started it all. 21 years later, we're still doing it. Amazingly, we still really like each other, and we still love playing music together, and it doesn't feel stale. You know, it feels like a living language when we get together. And we play with a lot of other people, you know,
yes.
All of us. We love that, but when we get together, there's a certain language that, you know, when you've been together that long and play together that much, it's like this, and I don't want to call it a comfort zone because there is definitely the requisite tension between us that one needs in order to keep growing.
Sure.
And to keep the music real. That's all, that is there. But there's a lot of love and respect. Yeah, we balance each other out in some crazy way. Yeah, I can't really put it into words that, you know, that the language of music allows us to express.
Your latest release is?
Our latest release is Free Magic. It's an acoustic live record.
Okay.
Yep. It just came out a couple months ago, and that's our latest release, and we did a little tour northeast, all acoustic. I guess we didn't play New York City.
No.
No.
Well, I guess you're going to.
But, yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is our New York run, but Free Magic is our latest release. It's a live recording from about 4 or 5 years ago. And it's, you know, all acoustic piano and acoustic instruments. I have other things that I play on it, a detuned piano, and that's our latest thing we put out.
listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. My guest this evening, John Medeski, one-third of Medeski, Martin, and Wood. I thank the people who have called, but we need more people to call, 917-580-6021. We're listening to Charles Mingus's Nostalgia in Times Square. Medeski, Martin, and Wood from Free Magic Live in Directo Records 2012, was released this year, as was stated. Before that, we heard Uncle Chubb from Medeski, Martin, and Wood's first release, Notes from the Underground in Directo Records 2004. We need to hear from you because the people in the tally room need something to do other than just listen to the show. And I know I didn't really want to talk all over everything, but I have to because it's too quiet and I need to hear from you at 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. There's more to enjoy. There's more conversation with John Medeski. He has more to chat about. There's more music to hear, but we need to hear from you. This is how WBAI stays on the air. This is an emergency drive, peoples. We need your emergency assistance, financial assistance. 917-580-6021. And I don't want to hold John Medeski's great piano playing. Hostage. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. I hear this and I think of Schroeder. Schroeder was cool. Schroeder was very cool. Schroeder was the coolest. 917-580-6021. Need to hear from you. It's a little too quiet. Give it up. Give it up. 917-580-6021. We'll be right back.
Thank you so much.
So the In Case the World Changes Its Mind isn't the latest?
No, that was the one before it. That was the
Okay.
That was a live. And this is another live record. We just put out. You know, we haven't put out a lot of live records. So we, you know, that's two people been asking us to. So we did.
Okay. Excellent.
You're listening to A Go-Go, Modesky, Schofield, Martin, and Wood, In Case the World Changes Its Mind, live. Indirecto Records 2011 release. 917-580-6021. Pledge a high amount. The one who pledges the highest gets to see Modesky, Martin, and Wood Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. And you'll be happy. You won't regret it. You'll get to hear all this good stuff. Yeah, I'm still talking because it's rapidly approaching 1 a.m. and the amount has not changed in a while. And so we need your assistance. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in my bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. We're listening to Modesky, Schofield, Martin, and Wood right now. John Modesky is my guest. Stay tuned. Show your financial live. 917-580-6021. There's one person I have to thank for our even chatting, and that's Ben Tyree.
Yeah.
He is the man. He was the one that, you know, just put us together to talk.
Yeah, we love Ben. I played Hammond organ at their wedding. For the ceremony, yeah. I love Ben. Yeah, Ben is an excellent guitar player, too.
Yes, he is. He plays with Burnt Sugar.
Yeah.
And he has
exactly.
He has his own thing. And the recording that you played with him on, where you played Hammond B3, was Revision.
Yep.
That's some cool stuff.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
actually, there's something really special about your run at the Blue Note. You have guests.
Yeah, we have a different guest every night, and it's going to be a blast. We're looking forward to, you know, different people we love to play with, and very actually some we haven't never played with Nels Klein. So we've talked about it forever, and it's finally happening. So it's going to be exciting.
And Thursday night, you're going to be with Mark Rebo.
Mark Rebo, who's one of our favorites, a secret band that we have together. We get together once every couple of years.
Mm-hmm. You did the recording, Los Cubanos.
Yeah, a Phantom Postizos record.
Yeah.
And also Rebo's played on a couple on one of, you know, our records at different times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Quiet back there. Everyone's like listening to the show. That must be it. Well, while you're listening, you can call 917-580-6021. And let's see. We're listening to Aquí Como Allá, Mark Rebo y Los Cubanos Postizos, the prosthetic Cubans. Atlantic Records, 1996. You know, listening to this, you know, listening to some, you know, a couple of the early Modesky Martin and Wood releases remind me of when I lived on the Lower East Side. It's like, oh my gosh, it was such a different time. Anyway, before that we heard Shapeshifter, Ben Tyree, BT3. Revision is the name of the release. And it's on Sonic Architectures Records. 2010 was when it was released. Ben, you the man. As I say, you the man. And hello, Stephanie. And thank you. 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. It is your turn to show your support while Mark Rebo y Los Cubanos Postizos do their thing. 917-580-6021. Shows, the Modesky Martin and Wood shows at the Blue Note, go to bluenotejazz.com. There is indeed a different guest every night. Tuesday night, the pair that we're offering tonight, is for, have I gotten confused here? I have. Oh, Ayeb Dang is on Tuesday the 11th, Nels Klein on the 12th, Mark Rebo on the 13th,
Bill Evans on the 14th and Marty Ehrlich on the 15th. That's BlueNoteJazz.com. This is WBAI New York 99.5 FM. La Nueva Alternativa coming up next. With John Zorn, I've noticed.
Yeah, over the years, I've played with Zorn on and off. In the past year, I've done a bunch of recordings with him,
mm-hmm.
Nova Quartet, and some other things. And I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff for his 60th birthday celebration in the coming year. A lot of gigs all over the planet, so I'm excited. I love Zorn, is, you know, another incredibly inspiring being.
Yes.
Here on this planet. He's a force. He's a force of nature. I don't know what it is. He's definitely a force.
And he's the owner of the Stone, the club.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He's in charge. He totally takes care of the Stone. Yeah, exactly. That's what he does. If something isn't out there that he thinks should be, he makes it happen. Whether it's a music, a recording, or, you know, a club in New York where there's no bar and it's music and it's a simple setup and that's it. You know, it's great.
It is.
I really admire him. He is really done it his way, in every way, all the way.
Yeah, excellent.
And, you know, you gotta love that.
What are your plans after, what's next?
Yeah, so after the Blue Note, we got a little time off. I'm actually going down to Peru to spend December at the top of Machu Picchu. And then we play with Schofield again on the Jam Cruise beginning in January.
I'm sorry, the Jam Cruise?
Yeah, Jam Cruise. We're doing Jam Cruise. It's a boat. It goes out of Florida and has a lot of bands on it. It's like a music festival
okay. For
3-4 days on a boat. The MSMW is going to do 2 concerts on that boat, which will be fun, in the beginning of January. And I also have, you know, just finished a solo piano recording that will probably be coming out, I think, in April. So I'm going to start doing a lot of touring for that. And MMW's got, you know, 3 tours, you know, lined up for next year, a couple of runs in Europe, actually.
Wow.
And, yeah, just a lot of stuff. Going to Italy to play with a band called The Bumps in January as well. And do a couple solo gigs over there. It'll be fun.
So what's The Bumps?
They're a rock band from Italy. I guess they're, you know, they're really big over there. It's like their 30th anniversary or something like that.
Cool.
So I'm going to be a special guest for one gig. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, there's one thing we didn't discuss that happened this year. Spectrum Road.
Yeah, Spectrum Road was an incredible, is an incredible band, you know. And I really look forward to us being able to do some more of that in the next couple of years. You know, it really started off as a Tony Williams tribute to his band Lifetime, featuring Cindy Blackman on drums and Jack Bruce, who was in the original Lifetime.
Right, on bass.
And it started out like that. And Vernon Reid on guitar.
Exactly.
Vernon was sort of the mastermind of the whole project. And started out as a tribute band, and it really turned into an incredible creative band of its own. And really excited for us to, like, you know, get together and make another record of original music and keep it going.
Well, I was really fortunate to catch everyone at B.B. King's when you were here.
Yeah.
That was a gas.
It was great. Great band. Yeah. Slamming.
And you sent us to Saturn.
God, we all went there.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to more of that.
Yeah, me too. It's really a great band. I really think it is.
So this week, starting the 11th of December, Medeski Martin and Wood will be at the Blue Note. So thank you so much, John Medeski. Hey, is there anything you want to let the listeners of WBAI know? That we may not.
No, you've covered more than I ever imagined. you covered more than I even remember it ever happening. So I think we got it all. I appreciate
it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And
thank you.
And tolerating our Skype.
I love, you know, I've always been a big fan listener. BAI. It's one of the greatest radio stations on the planet, so thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And as you hear John Medeski mention how much he's been a fan of WBAI, you can be a member of WBAI. Call now.
Cough it up. Right.
That's right. Thanks so much, John.
No, thank you. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye.
(917) 580-6021. Cough it up. As John Medeski said, cough it up. 917-580-6021. You're listening to the end of Sugar My Bowl. La Nueva Alternativa is supposed to be coming in the door right now, even as I'm speaking. Actually, come on in. 917-580-6021. Oh my gosh, got a haircut. What the heck? 917-580-6021. I barely recognize you. 917-580-6021. Let me get, oh, thank you, somebody. Thank you for your generosity. Oh, my gosh, what a pleasant surprise that was. I still have to go back there and pledge myself. 917-580-6021. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. Before Spectrum Road, what we're listening to now, Blues for Tillman, excuse me. That would be Tony Tillman Williams. We're listening to, from Spectrum Road. We heard Between Two Worlds, John Zorn, Nova Express, Electric Record, Atlantic Records, 1996 release. Let's get out of here. They're waiting to get on the air, La Nueva Alternativa. Stay tuned.
You're tuned to WBAI, the station that tells our story and tells it like it is. This is Mabel Williams, widow of Robert F. Williams, Negroes with Guns, and you're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM.
And I mean every word of it.